Here we go. It's Tuesday, right after the holiday weekend. Here we go. Welcome to Theological. And I just realized I don't have my headset, but I never get that echo. The music right now is going through my speakers, and I think, oh, I'm going to get an echo. But then I have this awesome dynamic mic, which I need to like super up the gain all the time in order for you just to hear me. But you know what? You know what the upside of that is that I can have my kids in the same room. I can have all this weird noise going on. It's not going to pick up on that. So I, you know, take the good with the bad. This is the channel Theologicus. My name is Joseph Louthan. I'm so glad you're here. I am actually, I don't know, it's still pretty early for my usual time. Yeah, I have my little kids here for the summer. And so my schedule is going to be as it is. So I'm going to go live when I can. Today we are still in doctrine. We're still in learning how to pray as the Lord prays. And I'm going to tell you something. If you have read this series already, you know, there's a big honking, prayer that I had written down already. And I was like, I didn't want to use this as like a teaching moment. We're halfway through the series, and I was like, you know what? Let me try to encourage and get other people to pray what we know so far according to the Lord's Prayer. But I was looking, I was like, man, this is really wordy. And like Jesus, like the example he gave us is like not to be that wordy. So like, you know what? I took everything I wrote and just like crunched it. And so it's saying the same thing, but in simpler terms. And I'm going to tell you, man, if you can get your small group, community group, family group, church to pray in short little sentences like, God is good, God is love, God, I love you, Lord, I know that you love me, I know that you are for me, Lord, I place my faith in you, Lord, I place my faith in Christ Jesus, Lord, fill me with your spirit, on and on. If you could just pray those simple prayers, it's a game changer. It's just making it simple, just speaking truth. It's one thing to know truth, and it's another thing to read truth, but to say those truths out loud with your mouth, it's like, you know what? I do believe this. I'm going to say it with my mouth. I'm not going to give you lip service. I mean, don't be a hypocrite. If you don't believe it, don't say it. But if you do believe it, you got to say it. Does that make sense? Okay. Before we do anything, I don't want to be ironic and not pray. Let's pray. Father God, help us to pray as we ought to pray, because we do not pray as we ought to pray, as your word has said in Romans 8. We do not. Fortunately and blessedly, we have the Spirit who intercedes for us. We have your Son that intercedes for us. So God, would you give us grace to run to you when we need to run to you, to talk to you when we need to talk to you. God, help us. We need you so much. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. All right. Yeah, I'm not even 4 minutes into the episode. I was like dying of thirst. Dying. Okay. So here's today's verse. We're going to keep it simple, keep it sweet. Matthew 6:10, your will be done. Ephesians 1:11-14, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might to be the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Okay, here's today's lesson. What I want you to take from today, if nothing else, or two things. One, praying. Pray to your Father in heaven. Second, this is not about making God do what we want him to do. This is not what that is. You'll never get me to teach that. Not even close to the realm of that. I recognize it. I recognize it when other teachers teach it or try to teach it, and they're not being specific. And I, in their vagueness, they're trying to lead up to this, and I'm about to get to this in a second. And I recognize it, and I stay far away from it, okay? 19th century American evangelist Charles Finney has been through a few doctrines in his lifetime, like any Christian who has seriously thought through the Bible. Now, I'm going to bring, I brought up his name because depending on how well you have paid attention in church, this might not be the first time hearing his name. In mentioning Finney's name, I usually get two polarizing responses. He is the greatest Christian since St. Paul. That usually comes from people who are in bigger movements within evangelicalism, especially in the 20th century evangelicalism, and definitely from non-denominational megachurches in places like Bethel, okay? It's just a fact, right? If you are semi-interested in Christian history, you know who Charles Finney is, and if you go to, like, one of those churches, they're going to tell you he's the greatest, like, the greatest ever, greatest evangelist. Billy Graham is up there, but they just consider Charles Finney to hung the moon, as my grandmother would say. For the rest of us, rest Christians, our brothers and sisters, they would say in so many terms or so many words, he is the worst heretic since Judas and is a poison to all evangelicals. These statements usually come from more orthodox camps. And when I say orthodox, I'm not saying big orthodox, like Eastern Orthodox. I'm not saying that. I'm talking like Reformed or I was about to say Assemblies of God, but no, Assemblies of God loves Finney. You know, Reformed, Calvinist, those type dudes, right? Okay, so I have heard opinions both ways, right? It's like, whoa, oh my gosh, it's like, there's no middle ground, okay? And yes, my opinions tend to land on one side, but my opinions about the man Charles Finney is not important. It really isn't. And I want to point you to a book. Actually, I have the book right here. For a more excellent summary on the ministry and the effects of the ministry of Charles Finney, check out chapter 2 in this book, Pentecost Today by Ian Murray. It is, if you are interested in revival. You know what? I think a lot of camps, a lot of churches talk about revival. Hey, go get this book. And if you're on the show notes, the link is right there. Pentecost Today, you're seeing it on the screen. Just click on that link. Draw back the curtain. If you click on any link that's on my website, it's going to take you to an Amazon link, which if you decided to purchase, a little bit of that purchase price gets kicked back to me, and I'm just going to put it into the show. I'm not trying to build a career out of this or something, but I do have some operating costs like server equipment and stuff like that. It's going to go right back to that. Okay, and I haven't made one red cent off of this, so don't think I'm sitting here rolling in the dough. I have a full-time job. So for the good and bad, let's get back to the point. For the good and bad influence that Finney has on today's Christians, this much is certain. This much cannot be contended against, argued, debated against, right? There are many, many of our brothers and sisters who adamantly believe, okay? If you pray hard enough, long enough, believe hard enough, do the right things, and if you have enough faith, if you've heard that going to church and you still believe you have to have enough faith, that you could change the mind of God and get God to do your will. Now, let me try to be fair, okay? My will all, like, as a Christian, my will is that I hope that my Aunt Susie is healed from cancer. That is my will. I want God to will that too. And God, would you please heal her because I want you to heal her, right? And we think, okay, that's a good thing. Why wouldn't God want that, right? And let me be even more fair. Let me throw more grace upon this. Defenders of this belief would not claim to thwart the will of God. But ultimately, that is what you end up trying to do. Now, why is that so damaging? is not because it is a feeble attempt on trying to change the will of God, but because it assumes that you're in control, which ultimately ends in the sin of witchcraft. When you try to control your future in some way, somehow, whatever, that is witchcraft. And if you want to come back, you want to talk about that, fine. It's like, oh, well, are you saying it's a sin to save money and plan for the future? I didn't say that. Did I say that? I didn't say that. But when you actively try to control the future by what you're doing today, that is witchcraft, okay? Beyond that, and more importantly, that is the very definition of legalism, the same back-breaking yoke that Jesus Christ came to remove. In other words, legalism, witchcraft, and this thing that some of our brothers and sisters are trying to do is let me do the right things in order to get the blessings of God that I want. Guess what, folks? That doesn't work. It doesn't work. And we are not here to line up the will of the Almighty God with our lives, but rather as we are being conformed in the image of His Son day by day, we are starting to line up our own will within the will of God so that He and I become one, okay? So we're halfway through this teaching on prayer. Or so today, instead of teaching you a bunch of doctrinal facts, I want you to try to pray with what you know about God so far. Now, usually don't do this, but today I'm going to make the exception and recite my own written prayer here, okay? So this is the way I would pray. My Father, I am but a little kid, and I don't know much, but I know You are holy. And You are my Father, and You know my needs, so please provide for me. Your kingdom is here because of what Your Son has done, so bring me into Your presence because of what Your Son has done. Lord, I have spent my entire life doing what I want to do, and when I come to You now, I still want to do what I want to do. But would You make me look like Your Son, just as You promised You would, so that I can want what You want, just as Your Son did. For me to do anything You want, I have to be filled with Your Spirit. So give me Your Son's Spirit, the same one that raised Him from the dead, and convicts me of everything that Your Son has commanded. Amen. So with what you know so far, we're halfway, Matthew 6, halfway in verse 10. There's my Discord. Halfway through verse 10, just pray, just like that. Real simple, short sentences, and try. And go to God. Put your words into it. Put your heart into it. And just, it's like, God, line up my will, my wants, my desires, my affections with You. What would that look like, Lord? All right? And that's today's doctrine. That is a really simple teaching. These are designed to be short, sweet, to the point. I'm not trying to fill airtime. I'm not trying to have a 30-minute bracket. I spend more time yapping my guns than anything else, okay? So be back here tomorrow around the same time. We're going to do Genesis, the part in Genesis 1 where He creates mankind. I hope you are returned for that. It's this Bible study in Genesis. Sorry. Reverse. Tomorrow's Wednesday. My days are so mixed up. Gospel meditations. We are in 1 Timothy. We're still in 1 Timothy. We're halfway done, but I hope you join us, and I'll talk to you guys later.